Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Skip it. Just skip it. Just okay, end it and start a new one. Just end it and start a new one. Do we have another good one? What do we got next? God. What do we got next?
Oh, that's not, it's not getting much faster.
No.
Here we go. All right.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's do that.
What's up, Mattio? Let's go. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon. My name's Mitch Nelson, a.k.a. Thunder. Tommy Wirtz is in the house. And before we get to our guests, real quick on the Nicolay Law Talking text line, let's go. My son is getting married this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it will be during the Packers game. His fiance's family is all Bears fans, and there will be no TV at the bar. Well, then your fiance's family are not Bears fans, yeah. And you're not a Packers
it's
fan.
It's not going to work.
Right.
You change that wedding. Yeah. Go get married at the courthouse and have a party watching the game. Relax.
And it's not a bar. It's not a bar.
That's true. No yeah. What bar are you at?
Like, yeah, they're not Bears fans. You're not a Packers fan. It's not a bar. How many things in this puzzle are wrong?
Are you sure they're not duping you? Like,
are we in the Midwest? Like, come on. Like, there's a TV somewhere.
Well, I know our guest absolutely agrees with that take. Joining us now on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. It's our guy Spiegs from 670 to the Score in Chicago. Spiegs, how you feeling, brother?
I am wonderful. Guys, this is great. I mean, we can get into the trash talk and what's going to happen and the whole thing. But isn't it awesome that this rivalry is meaningful? Awesome that there are so many levels to this with the coaches and with the quarterbacks looking to still define themselves and all of it, as well as the Bears thinking maybe they're over the hump because they won the division. But we'll know if they're over the hump or not based on what happens in one football game on Saturday night. And I bet it's going to be the fifth one in a row that's decided on the final play. You know, it's just unbelievable how many levels there are to this thing already.
Yeah, this rivalry's tightened up here these last couple games. These last four have been pretty nerve-wracking, exciting to watch from an outsider's perspective. And what better time to keep this rivalry going than Wild Card Weekend here? I mean, this is going to be epic. Saturday night, Soldier Field. It looks to be cold, windy, everything you hope for. What are you expecting that energy to be like at Soldier Field, Spiegs? Your Bears fans are hopeful for the first time in a long time. What are you expecting there in Soldier Field?
Well, I'll tell you, I was there a month ago on that Saturday night when it was unlike any energy I have ever felt or been a part of at a sporting event. I mean, it was violent. It was crackling. The energy was outrageous. I felt like all 60,000 of us were going to join together in one body like a big Voltron and just climb out of the stadium.
I love that imagery, man. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, dude, that's the way it felt. It was just unbelievable. And then the Bears came out and were completely emotionally out of control. DeMarco Jackson jumping on top of the pile, three penalties on the first defensive drive. So, I mean, I suspect for the fans, it's going to be like that. And what we need is the players to not be like that because the players were out of control. And then what happened was as soon as something bad happened, and you guys remember it was the gimmick play from Ben Johnson, which I hated at the time on fourth and goal, and a snap that goes over Kyle Manunga's head, every bit of energy got deflated in that place. And it was dead for about 2 hours. Until just before the onside kick, essentially, and so you can't afford to have an energy that inconsistent as a football team. As a fan base, you do what you want, but the football team was dead.
Yeah,
that's what Ben Johnson has to guard against, and he's got that experience now, so that's good.
Well, honestly, though, like what you're saying, and like I'm just imagining being there. And you got to give credit to this Bears team and Ben Johnson leading them to be able to capture that back. It's like, did they capture it? Did they get it back? Or did the Packers kind of start handing things back to them, right? Like, this rivalry, these last few games, it's like, you see some of it where it's like you're taking it from each other, but there's also been times where it's just kind of been handed back, right? Like, so we talked about this earlier, and I'd like to ask you, is it more important for, like, the Packers to not turn the ball over or to try to get a takeaway to have any chance to have a chance to beat the Bears this weekend? Because we all were in consensus, but I'd be curious to see your point on that.
When the Bears get two turnovers or more, they're 9-0. When they get one or zero turnovers, they're 2-6. The Bears' defense, it bends. There's a lot of bending that goes on, and I think the game plan will be to allow the bend and then try to hit the hell out of your ball carriers after they catch it short, or hit the hell out of the running backs, or try to bat a ball up in the air and get a pick. Now, I think turnovers are the number one factor, and it's crazy to think that this game might come down to two plays or three plays, but I think that's going to be the key. And I'll say this because it ties into your concept of the magic that the Bears had in that game. They've had it six times. They've won six games where they were trailing with 2 minutes left, and they could have won three more, including the one at your place, including the Niners on a Sunday night. They had three other chances to win a game they were trailing with in the final 2 minutes. I think they've got one more magic bullet in them, whether it's this Saturday night or whether they get through the pack and they have it later on in the playoffs. I think they're just one of those teams, and they're having that moment, and Caleb loves the game late. Their numbers are great late. His numbers are great late. I think they've got one more bit of late-game magic in them.
Matt Spiegel joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. So, Matt, should the Packers let the Bears get up early? Like, the Bears are so good at coming back, those fourth-quarter comebacks. Should the Packers just, like, plan on being down by 10 in the fourth quarter, and then the Packers could pull a fast one on them?
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah, once you guys spot us 10 by the fourth quarter, maybe by the third. The Bears will still do what they need to do offensively late. So you spot them 10, you got troubles.
Spot them 10. They'd let the Packers take a 3-point lead middle of the fourth quarter and then decide to play and still do the same thing, right? I mean, that's just what the Bears do right now.
Look, here's the thing, guys. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jordan Love. I feel like he has arrived as one of, you know, the top 7-8 quarterbacks in the NFL. And maybe you guys want him higher than that because you're so spoiled with your Rodgers and your Favre.
Yep.
And maybe he will be. But he's a really, really good quarterback who is very good against the blitz. He spreads the ball around, and he's really good. One thing, though, if it's going to be windy like crazy, some of those balls that he throws with great touch and loft and timing are going to flutter around in the breeze and fall into Bears defenders' hands. And Caleb Williams likes to fire that thing through the breeze. And I'm telling you, I'm not worried about the rain or the snow, but you ought to worry about the wind, and we'll see what the wind is like.
Matt Spiegel, 670 The Score, joining the Mason Crosby Show here. I don't want you to necessarily speak on behalf of all Chicago Bears fans here, Matt, but I do want to gauge where you are at. Is this game the Super Bowl, or is this game a stepping stone, or is this game house money? How are you feeling specifically about this round, super wild card round of the postseason? You have to feel that you're already ahead of schedule where you are with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, but do things start to feel more real after this win, or are you just saying that as long as they get this one, I'm happy with this season?
I mean, this would be massive for the entire offseason and the future. To have this as a win would be massive for our overall perspective. If it's a loss, it's going to make for a very uncomfortable next 3 weeks or month. And then I think Bears fans, and I know I will, be able to get to a place where I'm like, yes, as you said, we're ahead of schedule, man. This is the bonus year. This is like the Cubs in 2015. And the Cubs in 2015 lost to the Mets in a sweep in the NLCS, and everybody was like, that's all right. We're on our way. We're next. But you know what they also did in that playoffs? They beat the Cardinals. Beat the Cardinals in the NLDS. And that was a big deal. So it's really a very similar comp to to the feelings in my mind. But the other thing is, like, even if they lose, the overall feeling of the offseason is going to be one of excitement and expectation and dissecting what Ben Johnson's vision is for the roster and the offseason. And so, I mean, it's going to be thrilling and it's going to be exciting, but the locality of it is what's going to make it so potentially painful and uncomfortable, where I have to hear from Jamokes like you.
Well, I'm really, like, you know what I'm really, yeah, Matt, you know what I'm sick
Jamokes,
about?
I am
sick that the Bears feel better about their team after losses at the end. Like, that's what's really annoying me, because if Green Bay is...
I hear you. Like, I said that the loss to Green Bay at Lambeau Field was the last moral victory of the season, because I saw Caleb come back in that second half and the offense come back and make it a game, and I was like, damn it, we got a guy. Like, the Niners loss was not a moral victory to me, because you had the one seed sitting right there for you, and they couldn't get it down in the final play. It was chaos. This loss would not be a moral victory. No, this would be crushing. This would suck, but I think we would get over it in the totality. That's my point.
Well, Spiegs, you know, there's been just, like, I've kind of heard out in media, some different places, maybe here on this show a couple times, that this might be the most underwhelming two seed in recent history, the Chicago Bears team. Like, what do you think about just those comments that have been kind of put out into the, you know, into the media sphere? What would you say to that if that was just said out in public?
Well, you know, you're the one who just said it. I want to say, I know you tried to pass it off and attribute it to John Strawman, but I haven't, whoever that guy is. But look, I don't care. It's fine. Look, their season has been fluky at times, without a doubt. But turnovers can be sustainable if you teach it well. We lived it with Lovie Smith for a decade. Those defenses found a way to make it sustainable. So, maybe that'll happen. The offense is undeniable, man. This is the third best rushing offense in the NFL, period. You know, it is the sixth best offense in the NFL. By EPA per play, they're seventh in the NFL.
No one knows what that means. No one knows what EPA is. What is EPA? Well,
Environmental Protection Agency.
Listen, I'm sorry you guys don't. We have a really smart coach in Ben Johnson who laid that out in his introductory
Let's go.
Ben laid that out, that it was more important than turnovers in predicting team performance. So we've been all over it, and Caleb Williams is not a guy we expected to be good at it, but he has been. So it's expected points added per play. It's an advanced metric. One day the state of Wisconsin will catch up. So, but, like, it's... this is a really good offense. So people can call it fluky, but our coach is a flat-out superstar, and you guys know it. And he and the quarterback have a thing, and we hope that it can work for the next decade.
All right, yeah. So I would, in that regard, then I would say you probably are hoping for this thing to be a shootout, where it's just a back and forth. Whoever gets the ball last, goes and wins it. Is that kind of the hope? Because if this thing gets grindy, I mean, the Bears have proven to be able to win in different ways. Like, I joking aside on the two seed and all that, like, it is those types of teams scare me, where it's like they never die, right? It's Denver Broncos this year, the Chicago Bears. Yes. Like, there are teams that just literally will not go away. So what kind of game do you think gives the best chance for your Bears to get a win on Saturday?
Yeah, look, let's make no bones about it. All things being equal, you know, the Packers are better on offense, or on defense, certainly. And on offense, because of Love and what he can do, they're probably better there overall. The numbers for the Bears are undeniably better than the Pack on offense, except for situational stuff, third down and red zone. So... And here's the thing. I do think the Bears need to run the hell out of the ball and try to control the clock and limit the possessions for Green Bay. And they've averaged, 144 against you guys in the last two games, and I couldn't help but notice that Baltimore got 307. So, yeah, the Bears will be trying to run the ball down your effing throat and trying to control it. And we hope that's the way it goes. So, but still there'll be a lot of points, I suspect. I think I said the other day 30-27 Bears, but maybe it's 24-21 Bears. That's my prediction. I think they get the two turnovers they need, guys, and that's going to be the difference.
I hope someone puts Malort in Ben Johnson's water bottle and he just loses it in the middle of the game. Wow. That's what I hope happens.
That's special. I love it.
Well, the shirt's coming off. Shirt's coming off either way.
Oh, God.
Win, no matter what.
That's happening. We could do a shirt bet if you want, Speegs. You go shirtless if they lose. I'll go shirtless if they lose. Next show type thing.
You're breaking up. Sorry, man.
That was amazing.
Yeah, rough.
Yeah, Matt Spiegel, Speegs from 670 The Score, joining us here on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. You've got your prediction, and how, like, not that people there are thinking this way, but I know that I've heard nationally, again, to Mason's point, you know, if the Bears win this game, they get another home game as the two seed. Like, is that is that something that people are, like, cautiously mentioning, or are people just, like, fully focused on just tomorrow night?
Yeah, no, people have certainly mentioned it. And also, if Seattle were to lose, Bears could host an NFC Championship game, right? It's the magic of having the two seed. This is why the Eagles should have gone for it and played their guys. So, no, it's gotten mentioned. Here's the other context with which it's been mentioned. Next weekend in this town is the Cubs convention, and it's also the 10-year anniversary of the 2016 World Series. A whole bunch of those guys, including John Lester and Joe Maddon, are expected to be in town. So there will be a suite full of Cubs fans at or Cubs players, excuse me, a suite full of Cubs players at Wrigley Field on the weekend of the convention. That would be a great sports weekend in this town.
Oh, I love it.
That is awesome. Real quick, could there have been a better time for the Chicago Bulls to have to postpone a game because of condensation than this week in Chicago, where no one in Chicago is paying attention to the Bulls?
Yeah, no, that's great, man. Look, I've been thrilled to talk virtually no Bulls basketball the last 3.5-4 weeks. It's been wonderful. And I hopefully the Bears give us another week of that, because in our business that's two, right? You get another week of a game, and then you got the week of the postmortem, and all of that. So it should be really, really fun, guys. And hey, quick plug, by the way. For anybody within the viewing audience of WFLD Fox 32, the local Chicago affiliate, Saturday night, I'm doing postgame on TV with Luke Canellis and a couple other folks.
All right.
And, you know, awesome. And we're carrying the game on Fox because people who don't have Prime, they have to carry it on a local game. So we're expecting 20 million people to be watching the game. And maybe a couple million sticking around for postgame with yours truly. I cannot
believe. Oh, no, my finger slipped.
Oh, hits the upright again. No.
Sorry about that, Matt.
Double doink.
Oh, man. Let's just hope that doesn't happen again. The last two playoff appearances for the...
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes, and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
For the Bears, where they hosted, did not go so well, but... You know, it's 2026. Anything could happen.
The Bears' season's going to end on a double doink.
Well, Speegs, we absolutely love you. Thank you thank you so much for jumping on. You've been great. And 30 hours and change until kickoff there at Soldier Field. Here we go. It's go time, Speegs.
Everybody, enjoy the game. Be kind to your neighbors who may like a different team than you. Let's all enjoy the majesty of this rivalry tomorrow night. Thanks,
That's
guys.
That's right. Let the drama unfold. Appreciate you, Speegs. Yep. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, Matt. That's Matt Spiegel joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. Always good-natured. Always fun to have him on. And, you know, it's just going to be, like, so much sweeter, like, to drink a chalice of his tears.
Exactly.
All day Sunday and Monday. Exactly. We've got plenty more to get to. Number 87?
I think so,
Shorty Nelson?
In the program, but number one in arts. So.
He played for the Raiders, right? He played for the Raiders.
He was a big Raiders guy, K-State. He had a small stint at another team, but I'm not sure
Looked
who that
good
was.
In purple. He looked really good in purple.
He's a purple guy. He's a Thunder guy,
Nice. Jordy Nelson at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. I am live at Natty Oaks. It's a Friday, so they've got their old-fashioned, their fish menu. Josh Albrecht's here crushing that chili. We're just having a blast. It is packed. And it's, like I said, it's 30 hours and change till kickoff. He's Tommy Wirtz. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nellis. We are the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon.
Oh, yeah.